Okay, so two more of our PCT hikers finished up, and who are they? Let's find out how they're doing and if they've recovered. I've probably given it away by saying they, using the plural here. Today I have two of our PCT finishers, and I have a special co-host with us today. We have Kevin and Leah. Congratulations, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And our special co-host, Nathan, who we had on just a few weeks ago.
Excellent. Nice. Thanks for having me back.
Let's start with this. Congratulated you. That's awesome what you did. You have now completed the Appalachian Trail and the Pacific Crest Trail. Could you tell us any significant differences in the two trails?
I knew you were going to ask that question. That's what everybody asks us. How do they compare? For me, at least, I think one of the main differences this year, with all of the flipping around on the PCT that everybody did, it was really hard to make connections with people, like long connections with people, like have a big family and stuff like that. I know that there was a lot of people that did, but for us with all the flipping, I think that's one of the big things that was way different.
Yeah, like we met, a lot of people, but as Nathan can probably attest to, we did a lot of crossing paths north and south, you know, from people flip-flopping everywhere. Like, we've seen people all the way up until, 10 days before we finished, that we knew the whole trail. But it's like, oh, we haven't seen you in, like, a month. But they're going always going the opposite direction.
Yeah, they're going south, we're going north. So, but
That's something.
Besides that, maybe weather is different. Yeah. I mean, they both have their pros and cons.
Yeah. And I always like asking people, and I know, you get asked that all the time, probably from people who haven't hiked the AT who are considering it. I'm sure very curious. And I like asking it because in any given year, that answer could be a little different, right? This year it was the weather. If you asked somebody that did it in 2022, they would have said the wildfires were a big obstacle. And you talked about meeting people as you flipped around and had to kind of scramble around to finish it up. I interviewed a woman just a couple of days ago who finished her Triple Crown. She sectioned hiked the Triple Crown, but she finished it up in her 70s. I believe she was 76 when she finished it. And at 82, she just completed the American Discovery Trail. That's a trail that goes from coast to coast. She said how much fun it was, how much she enjoyed when she left the AT and then went to the PCT. In a couple of years, she was doing them both at the same time, going back and forth and doing sections. But how fun it was to meet people that, like, the year before she might have seen on the AT. But then not only that, but PCT hikers that she may have seen a few weeks earlier that were now heading in a different direction than she was.
Besides, like, the social aspect, though, I would say that the PCT is like, by far way more beautiful than the AT.
I would say the views are different.
Yeah, I mean, it's the PCT is pretty awesome. I mean, the AT will always hold a special place with me, and each one has their own thing. Like, I would still love to do the AT again.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to do the PCT again. If you asked me in the middle of the hike, I don't know if I would have said that. But, it took a little while to appreciate it this year with everything that was going on with the snow. It just made things way more difficult. I broke my elbow 2 months in, and that made things more difficult. So, like, there was just a lot of overgrowth and blowdowns and snow, and it took a while to get to appreciate the trail this year, I'd say.
And Nathan, they just hiked the whole PCT as husband and wife. And 2 minutes on my podcast and I have them disagreeing. That's probably not a good thing, but feel free to ask any questions before I create any more tension in their marriage.
I don't know if you covered this in other podcasts, but how'd you break your elbow?
We do YouTube, and I filmed around a corner, walking around a corner, and I was like, I don't like that. So I turned around and I went to film it again, filmed it. And then I was putting my GoPro away back on my backpack.
Your strap.
My strap. And I was looking at my backpack and I had my trekking poles both in my other hand. And there was a blowdown right around the corner that I didn't see when I rounded it. And I tripped over it. And, you know, I just resupplied in out of Walker.
Mm-hmm.
And down I went and landed right on the elbow. And
I feel like this must have been right after we crossed paths then.
Yeah, it was.
I was not injured yet.
Sorry for the kiss of death. Yeah, every time I ran into them, I was going south. And I was actually doing, I filled out my completion form on the PCTA website. And I realized that I did half of the trail southbound, which I was like, that was not intentional at all. But I was like, wow, I did half of my miles were going southbound, which is crazy.
I think that's kind of cool when you think about it. You know, not to rate one trail over the other. Again, is unique to the PCT that, you know, just unknowingly you hiked almost the whole thing southbound. It wasn't your intention, but because of circumstances, you had to plan around it, and that's how it worked out. Kevin and Leah, how about you guys? Because, you know, you had the same, you were out there with the same obstacles to navigate. How'd that work out for you guys? Did you find yourself just doing a lot of what Nathan did, or did you guys just like go back, continue north, and then come back and rehike those sections that you had to skip around?
So we did have a couple times that we did have to skip. We did jump up from the Sierras. So once we hit Kennedy Meadows South, we jumped to Chester. And then we got stopped by the fires in Washington when we got to Stevens Pass. It was like 110 degrees out there too.
Yeah, it's like a record heat wave up there.
Nathan went tubing when
I went wine tasting and tubing in Canada.
I
during
his Instagram and nice. I was like, man, I wish I was doing that.
It's like, where is he?
But so, you know, we flipped back down, completed the Sierras, that flipping back that way, and then we went back up again north and finished after they opened up some of the fire areas.
Yeah, we only did a small section Sobo.
Yeah, because Chester, the permit to... situation, we went from Chester to Donner Ski Ranch.
Yeah,
and Donner then Pits. And that, because like you can do, like your permit says that you're like a Nobo, and they ask you to go continue Nobo from Kennedy Meadows South to forget what that area is.
I don't know. It's like Echo Lake, isn't it?
Just before Echo Lake.
Yeah.
But you can get permits to continue south. Like Nathan continued south, which is.
We'll be back after a quick break.
You ever think about what might be in the water you're drinking every time you fill up your water bottles while you're in the outdoors? I try not to, and I really don't, because I use Sawyer water filters. Sawyer filter technology, because of their high standards, every filter is individually tested 3 times through the process. I've been using their permethrin product for years now to protect me from, well, quite frankly, ticks, and the picaridin to keep the flies at bay. Don't let bad water, insects, or a tick bite cut your trip short or even ruin it. Use Sawyer products. Go to your local outdoor retailer and ask for Sawyer products, whether it's a water filter, insect repellent, they're likely to have it. You can also go to Sawyer's website and read more about these incredible high quality products that they offer those of us who enjoy the outdoors.
Yeah, I ended up getting a flip-flop permit from the PCTA. So when I was home, I had a 3-part flipping.
Awesome.
Permit.
I would recommend doing the Sierras north to south, you know, because they get better as you go.
Sobo or no?
As you go south.
Yeah, Sobo. Do them Sobo.
I was really happy with the way it worked out, because it's, you know, you're like training on passes, you know, you'll do a 1150 and then you'll do a 1200 and then a 1250 and then you're up to 1300 and then you do Whitney and then you're done. I couldn't imagine doing it the other way. I mean, I don't know how anybody on a normal year goes from Kennedy Meadows South and they're like, all right, let's do Whitney. Like, and we'll do the Sierras. And yeah, I mean, it was very, I would, that the Sierras for me were the easiest section. So easy. just like trucked through it, no pain, like doing like 22 to 24 miles a day in the Sierras, which is a lot for that, but it was awesome.
So Nathan and Leah, how long did it take you guys to get your trail legs on, so to speak, where you felt like your miles were picking up? Now you had hiked last year, so mentally you guys were prepared to know there'd be a break-in period mm-hmm. as you got into your hike. How long did it take you on the PCT to get there? Because unlike the AT, of course, you've got the desert you're going through to get started out when you're going northbound.
I think it didn't take too long, but then we did take a break when we did get to Kennedy Meadows. We took about 10 days off. We went to Appalachian Trail Days for one, and then we had to go to a funeral as well. So then when we came back, it was like, okay, well, we haven't hiked, you know, for almost 2 weeks now again. So then we kind of had to get back into it, you know.
Again, I think that both times it wasn't too bad though, because
it's pretty quick.
We started off as we hiked with 511 from last year, and he had some knee issues, and so we said we would just start slow, and we were only doing 10-mile days for a good while, and then we bumped it up to like 12s and 14s for a little bit, and then mm-hmm. we had the time at the beginning, you know, starting on like March 16th, we had time, so I don't know if it really, it didn't really affect me at all, I guess.
Yeah, you guys were also working really hard, because you got snow right off the bat.
Yeah, Mount Laguna, we were already in.
Yeah, I mean, because I remember seeing your photos in Mount Laguna, and I was like, oh no.
Those were some rough days of post-holing to like your waist, like, or and like cutting up your shins and everything on the snow.
Yeah, because it gets icy.
You find yourself at any...
As a first-time thru-hiker, I was like, what are trail legs? When will I get these things? Like, and because I had, you know, terrible feet through, I don't know, 1800 miles, and then all of a sudden nothing, like no pain or anything. I mean, I feel like I was always strong in my legs, but it was my feet that yeah. took a long time to adjust. But so yeah, it really wasn't until Oregon that I was like, okay, I can haul ass now and it doesn't hurt, and I, you know, I wake up and go to bed and feel the same, versus the like, I can't put my shoes on, I can't stand up, I can't do anything. And then but yeah, so I mean, it took me a while, and it's absurd to think of that. Oh yeah, you were in pain for 1800 miles of hiking.
It kept going.
But yeah, I mean, I was like, I guess this is what hiking feels like. It just hurts a lot. And then when it went away, I was like, oh no, this is great.
Now, I once heard somebody say, well, it takes you 5 days to get your trail legs. I'm like, how are you measuring that?
Right.
I'm like you, Nathan. It takes me a little longer. My feet, not necessarily, you know, getting in shape, but my feet, I have foot problems, it feels like. And yeah, it takes me a little bit more than 5 days before I feel, you know, I don't do the kind of hiking you guys do, but even on my 2 to 3 week hikes, it takes me a little bit more than 5 days to really feel like I'm hitting my comfort zone and able to tack on the extra miles.
Yeah, I was always trying to figure out, like, am I doing this right? Is this what this is? This thing they talk about? Same thing with, like, hiker hunger. I was like, do I have it yet? Is this it? Am I hungry?
Yeah, I know. When you're preparing for it, you hear all the stories. And I'd probably be the same way, Nathan. It's like, you know, I hear about all this, but how true is that?
I know. I'm watching on Facebook right now, on all the Facebook groups, because all the freshman mm-hmm. groups are, like, in there, like, the high. It's like, we started talking last year. And I'm just like, oh, y'all just mellow out. Now, none of this is going to make any difference. Like, you're going to get on trail. The second it's going to be like, oh, I guess, like for me, like you're flipping, you're doing this, it's snowing. You didn't plan for this. And I was like, I don't know. I feel like I wasted a lot of time freaking
worrying
out,
worrying about stuff that you like, doesn't even like affect you. Yeah.
When you just take it
the same way,
take it one day at a time.
Well, for what it's worth. You know, it's the second year I've done this where I've brought groups on who are hiking the major trails. Your personality types, I've got to say now, where I can actually measure it, and after 2 years, or a small measurement, of course, but you're more likely to finish. I find that the people that go out there with this attitude, well, I'm finishing this trail, I know I'm going to finish it, they have been the ones to come up short. So there's probably something to be said for people who, number one, are realistic about their abilities, and also maybe say freaking out, Nathan, but maybe just being cautious, just, you know, being concerned about the unknown.
Yeah, I think that, like, it just.
Yeah. Sorry.
I was just going to say that, you know, you do have to just stick it out one day at a time and not look at it as like, I got 2,600 plus miles in front of me, you know, but just appreciating it every day. And I know that whenever we ran into Nathan, like, he was so happy about every day that we seen him, and like, he was excited, and that, like, instead of just being beat down or like looking at what you have in front of you, just being appreciative of what you're dealing with every day.
I think that's important, because Nathan, you had a very positive attitude. You know, I was following you with your photos and everything. And yeah, I think that's a big part, but I agree, Kevin.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was trying my best to have a good time. And I feel like most people don't do that. You know, they just kind of, when you're on a hike like this, like, you, it becomes redundant and it becomes your every day. I did have to remind myself of like, A, I'm paying a lot of money to be out here, and B, this is my hike. And so, like, yeah, there were a lot of like things that happened that I didn't enjoy. There were plenty of times, you know, falling in your on your ass in a river, or like doing like all sorts of things like that, like dumb injuries or near misses. But I mean, I really did try and take like, I'm out here. This is the whole hike. And it was always a joy to see y'all, because like, I feel like I didn't meet a ton of people. There were some people that like knew everybody, and I just didn't, and which I was fine. Like, I was kind of picky and choosy about who I, you know, sat next to or whatever, but it was always great to see y'all, and very, very unexpected in Tuolumne Meadows. I was not expecting that. And I was not having a good day that day. I was like nervous. And then you guys missed it. There was ended up being like a big snowstorm, like the week, I think y'all left and hopped up. We got stuck in the snow. I did Kearsarge Pass in the snow. I did Whitney in the snow. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And cold.
I was like really worried about you. I was like, I hope Nathan got all of his rain gear and everything.
Yeah, because you said you didn't even have rain pants or anything like that.
Yeah, I picked them all up in Mammoth. And so like, I didn't have any of that stuff, because that's what, like, as I was walking through Tuolumne Meadows, I was just like getting bit by mosquitoes like crazy, and I had no cover ups. But my partner brought everything to me, and thank God I had it all, because I like the last week in the Sierras, I had every piece of clothing on I owned.
It definitely got cold at
the end. Kevin, you broke your elbow, so I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong in assuming, was that your worst day out on the PCT?
I don't like. I was the most worried I've been like that. Like it's the first time that I thought about ever hitting the, you know, whatever rescue. Yeah, I couldn't bend my elbow. We were, I want to say like 18 miles from anywhere. And we had 18 miles to go again to like the closest campground for a road. Like, we were both sides, like, and like I said, I couldn't move it, and my arm was like locked straight, and it took, I don't know, maybe 5 Advil, and 3 hours later I started to be able to move it.
But and not even a lot.
Yeah. Like, she had to put my backpack on for me for like a month. Like, I couldn't really do anything.
His backpack is not light.
It was just be like, you know, limp my arm through the, you know, the strap, and as long as I just kept it in like the trekking pole position, I was good. But I had a lot of bad days following, because like, I couldn't put any weight on it. And then every time you're walking on snow, you gotta brace yourself from falling, you know, so you put a lot of weight on the trekking pole from sliding out. And so I couldn't do that whenever the slope was facing that way. And so I kept falling on it repeatedly. And so I would say for this trail, it was just a very long mental game for me. And then like going over blowdowns, like I couldn't bear any weight on the arm. So like, it was just a struggle of trying to get through all of that. A lot of mixture of bad news.
And I hope everybody listening who enjoys these YouTubes, not just Kevin and Leah's, but everyone else's, the perils of YouTubing and the sacrifices those YouTubers make.
Yeah, I really like, one thing that I hope that people do watch or are listening is, don't let it get in your head that if you do get injured, that you have to get off the trail and it's the end. you know, I mean, it was just my elbow, but
he did also go to the doctor twice. Like, he was making sure that it was okay to keep going. Like, he wasn't carelessly just being like, oh, well, it doesn't hurt that bad, I'll just keep going. Like, he was getting checked out. So, right. You know,
or if you have to take a break, like we took a week break waiting to go to the doctor to like try to let it heal up a little more. But depending on the injury, you know, you don't have to let it get to you that it's your hike's over. You can, some people push through things. Like if you have a rolled ankle, just give it a couple days and then you can get back on. Don't let the mentalness of I got an injury, use that as a quick ticket to get off. And, you know, because there's so much more of that you can see on the trails than jumping off. There's always going to be better days.
Yeah. And I feel like the taking the break to allow your body to heal on something this long is also part of it. Like my worst day, I, you know, essentially hit my sister SOS and had her pick me up, and she took me to what is it?
Yeah.
Like Mazama. Crater Lake Village, Mazama. That Mazama, yeah. And I just like hung out for a day and a half, and that saved my hike because I got to meet other hikers. I was just hanging out, and like because I remember just feeling really shameful. I was like, my feet are breaking down. I don't feel good. Like I feel like I'm gonna quit or whatever. And then I met this woman that was doing some pickup miles, and she was like, oh, tell me about your breakdown. Like, tell me about your bad day. Like, this is all part of it. This is all part of the hike. I was like, really? Like, oh, thank you so much. She's like, let's go get beers. I'm like, okay, well, take me. She took such good care of me. Cause I was like in my head, like I'm a failure. Cause I got to take a day and a half off on trail.
Sometimes just a little mental break.
That's all part of it.
From the trail is good. Even if you're still on trail and you just take a day or two off, you know, somewhere close to trail, that can really help too. It can like totally change your perspective.
You need to hit that reset button while you're out there. And you know, I think people, and I don't know, again, I haven't done the research to back up what I'm about to say, but some people that find themselves getting off these trails, maybe what they really needed to do is earlier take those 2 or 3 days off and hit the reset button. There could be a number of things. You know, we talk about the injuries that could happen, but just sometimes mentally we're just not in a good place, and we just maybe need that time to go into town, stay at a hostel or something to recover.
It's kind of cliched, but you know that everybody says don't ever quit on your worst day. You know, take a couple days off, come back on, and hike when you have a good day. And if you're still not feeling it, you know, then you can start it, yeah. Then you can start evaluating things. But it you're gonna have bad days no matter what,
for sure.
Bad weeks,
yeah.
and sometimes though, I mean, people do need to listen to healthcare professionals and all that. Where, because I met plenty of people that, you know, were like, I'm calling my hike, like this is it. I've had this thing for 2 months and it's not going away, and I just think that I'm done. And that, but they were complete with it, which I really respected. Cause I definitely, you know, I ran into a few other people that, you know, were making rash decisions. So like, oh, this is not what I thought it'd be. Like, there was this, some kid that like quit like within 3 days. Cause he like didn't like the snow and it wasn't what he thought it would be. And I was like, I don't think this is what anybody thought it would be. Like, yeah, no, the 40 miles to get to Mount Laguna, man, like if I could do that at the end of the trail, like, I just think it's for true Southbounders. I can't imagine going through all those things. Cause I was like, that was like a month of like I made it to Eagle Rock. I've been on track for 2 weeks. It's like nothing.
Those benchmarks, I guess you'd get into your head of got to get here, got to get to this place. So I can't wait to finish this part of the trail. We'll start with you on this one, Nathan. And what was it for you? You know, was there that certain place you got to where you were like really happy? Was it like a midway point? You know, aside from finishing.
No, I mean, most of the mileage milestones were so messed up for me, like, because it's so difficult to figure out like how far have I gone, because I flipped, like I went from mile 150 to 650 and then back and then all this. So like I was always, I mean, we to figure out where my actual halfway point was, like, took some complicated and subtraction. But like the thing, like on my hot list of things that I wanted to see that I was most excited about, Tunnel Falls, I was like, I've always wanted to see it. It like, it's just unreal. And it's not even on the PCT. It's like an offshoot, but it is, it was, I remember just like that morning was so cool. And then like you complete Oregon on that same day. And it was just, and then there's all these like amazing blackberries right there on the trail. It's just like such a great day. And I was like, and it was the first actual state that I had walked through the whole thing. Cause California, I still owe the Sierras and all this, but Tunnel Falls that whole day. I mean, cause we only did like, I think like 14, 15 miles that day. So like we were done by like two. So like we did this whole, like all these major checkpoints, and then I got like a burger, and then it was a great day.
Yeah. But the way you were doing it wasn't like you could say, all right, I'm halfway to Canada, or I'm almost finished with California.
But after that midway point, I mean, my midway point was somewhere in Oregon, but we were just blazing after that. Like, I feel like you hit the one halfway point, which seemed takes forever, and the rest of it just is done. And just like, whoa, we did Oregon. Like, whoa, I did Washington. Like, it's just like, it moves really quickly after that, just because, I mean, you're flying, but.
Kevin and Lee, I'm going to ask you guys this question. Could you say, was there like one thing you could point out about your hike that was really incredible? Was there this one thing that when you got to and actually saw with your eyes standing there and said, wow, this is more beautiful or incredible than I thought it would be?
I think for me, that happened several times. In the Sierras was awesome. There was the Goat Rocks. Like, I had never even heard of the Goat Rocks area. And and we had heard like five or six people the day before, like, oh, you guys are going to love it. Like, you're so lucky you get to go do that, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, what are they talking? Like, what is this? What are they talking about? But I think there was awesome. Like he had said, the Tunnel Falls. For me, there was just a bunch of spots where I was just like, wow, this is amazing.
My personal experience, I know when I go and hike through an area that I've seen on somebody video on YouTube, somebody put their video up, it's just, and I'm like, wow, this, that video doesn't do it any justice. This is just so incredible when you're standing or looking at something.
Yeah, definitely not the same. Like when we're editing videos and stuff, and I'm thinking back like, oh, I remember this day. And then I'll go through the videos and I'm like, man, it looks so much different, like in person. Like you just got to see it in person.
I can't remember where that one place was, but it didn't even look like you were on Earth. Like you came up over the pass and there was just these lakes everywhere. And
I think it was by Maria Lake, but I can't remember the name of the pass.
All right. That one was like a just jaw dropping. You felt like you were in like a video game or like in a sci-fi movie, where you're like up in the clouds somewhere, but like we had like awesome lighting and everything for it. But the same kind of thing was for Goat Rocks. Like we came around the area that you get a good shot through a valley of Mount Rainier, and Mount Rainier was out that day for us. And it was, the lighting was perfect for that. Like I felt like I was in like a King Kong movie. I don't know. It was, those were some of the days that I thought were pretty awesome.
One of the ones that really wasn't fun to hike for me that I thought was really cool was that lava area.
Oh, right before Bend.
Yeah, like that was a hard area to walk through, but it was just like I had not done anything like that before. So I was like, wow, this is
felt like you're on cool. Mars.
Nathan, do you have any of those days you could share with us where you felt like, I can't believe I'm out here doing this? Or those days you said, I can't believe I'm out here doing this.
I was right as I was packing up my stuff to get on this podcast, Dolly Parton's I Can See the Light of a Clear Blue Morning came on. And early on in the hike, when I was in must have been like mile 100 or something, that song came on, and I was hiking, and I was just like, and it kind of hit me that I was actually hiking the PCT. And I like, that was a huge moment. And it was nothing really spectacular, but I was just like, wow, I'm like out here. Like I haven't been in a town in a couple of days. I won't be in a town for a couple of days, and I'll be doing this for like months. But I really felt like I was doing it. And then, you know, there was the GoRocks, as I discussed on the last podcast, like was a major event for me, just because you're in like normal Oregon hiking, like you're in the forest and you're doing this, and then you're like, oh, it's getting steeper and whatever, and then all of a sudden you go up this hill and yeah. it's like nature opens up and you start getting like the vistas of like you're seeing 10 20 miles and like and the morning that I did the crest that Kevin's talking about, like it was like very cloudy, and so then you hike through the clouds and you're above it, and then like the big peaks are coming through, and like, but like it's all in these like meadows, but it's they're really yeah. steep, and there's marmots and goat like things. It was just really cool to be out there, and then you like haul ass and you get to go to Cracker Barrel, and then we had that was like my favorite.
It's always fun talking to through hikers, because I know just in the smaller trails I've hiked, you know, those off trail experiences are just as important and memorable as what happens on the trail, in some cases even more so. Regular everyday life, going to Cracker Barrel, well, yeah, you'd go, but after you've been on the trail for 5 or 6 days, it could be a big deal.
Oh, it's not even a real Cracker Barrel. It's like Cracker Barrel, okay. But it's a mini mart. But they have pizza, and it's good pizza. But no, a buddy that I met this guy, another hiker, on the train when I was flipping, and he was from Washington. And he was like, when you're in Washington, like, hit me up, I'll meet you somewhere. And that was made sense. So he met us there after our Goat Rocks experience, and then like brought this huge cooler full of like beer and fruit and stuff. So we had like on like personalized like on trail, like, but like in like a town situation, trail magic. And like we all got hammered, and then there was like a meteor shower. It was just a real, you know, when this is one of the reasons I wanted to go on the hike, it was just an extremely long day. Like there's so many memories that I was like, that was on that day too, that was that day, like holy crap, like, and I ran into that guy, like, oh my god, it was just like the longest day.
Kevin and Leah, did any time on this trip did you feel like Nathan said, maybe the days were all running together, or, you know, so much was happening in one day, you found yourself looking back and saying, wow, I can't believe all that happened in one day. You have any experiences like that?
I think that happened a lot.
Like, yeah. It's not even that we, like, sometimes at the end of the day, we'd be talking about something and I'd be like, that was today? Like, we did that today?
Yeah. When you're not even when, like, you just have, like, the days that you go into town, but just with the days that you have, like, a 30-mile day. You know, it just seems like you can walk through so many different zones, and you look back at the morning and it's like, was that really this morning? Like, did we do that this morning? And it's like, yeah.
Now here's something I want to ask, but I didn't ask Nathan in the last time we spoke. Did you have a favorite trail food?
I am a fan of ramen. I would say I know my least favorite trail food that I've tried 3 times was one of the peak meals, and it's the cheesy broccoli rice. I tried to cook, like, because I love cheesy broccoli rice, but every time I would cook it, it would just not turn out right. Either like it would be crunchy, or there'd be like the broccoli wouldn't cook right, or I don't know. I had to give up on that one.
I think that mine would probably be my ham sandwich lunches.
That's your favorite?
Yeah, I mean,
he would eat like a half a pound of ham for lunch.
So one day was a full pound.
Yeah. Oh my god.
That's hiker hunger for
and
you.
So he would always combine weird things. Like we'd have, like I would make tuna tortillas with pickles, and I'd throw some chips on there, you know, for some crunch. He would be putting on salami, like peanut butter, cream cheese, yeah. Ham,
chips,
cheese. All these different things, like, and I'm just like, how can you eat that?
You gotta boost those calories.
But if you got hunger, yeah, if you got hunger, I guess you'll eat anything.
Yeah, no, not me. I don't think I ever got it like that. I'm still very, and not picky, just like, because I'd eat if I was starving, but I just was like very particular about the things that I was eating. My favorite hiker food, though, and I'm really sad that I can't eat these in the volume I was eating them, is that Snyder's of Hanover, those, what are they? They're pretzel bits, and they make, like, tons of different flavors, and they're terrible. They're like extremely dense. So they're like, you don't have to worry about your chips getting crushed or anything, but like I would pack out like 4 pounds of these things. So it's like each one's a pound a piece. That's I have annoying. Four different flavors and like eat them. I'd eat them with a spoon. And like the people I was hiking with would just giggle because they could hear me like crunching on these things. I was just so happy because they're so good. All the flavors are good, but like the buffalo chicken is my favorite. And then there's like the cheddar ones really good. And then the like classic honey mustard. I ate a lot of those. And when they weren't in a town and you couldn't get them, I would be like visibly angry. Just like, what kind of shit trail town is this? Like, no Snyder's of Hanover trying to rip me off.
Kevin and Leah.
Oh, the boots going off.
I never ate it before the trail. Like it never sounded appealing to me, but he had it one night and I was like, ooh, that smells good. And then I bought some and I was like, man, I was missing out. I should have been eating this all along.
I like didn't even know what it was. Like I think I had it that it was like Salisbury steak and stroganoff are the same thing. It's not.
Kevin and Leah, this is your second through hike. Is there any food you feel like you just can't eat anymore? There's stories. I went through this myself where I went for like 3 years where I couldn't eat maple oatmeal because I'd gotten so tired of it. I went through it with Clif Bars. You guys experience that at this point yet? Where there's like certain foods that you're just saying, I can't, my next hike, I can't take that with me.
I wouldn't say specifically, but like, I know that in the beginning, I used to buy a lot of bars for snacks, like all kinds of bars. And I got over those fast. Like halfway through, I just quit buying them all together because they'd either get smashed or melted, or I just wouldn't be in the mood for it. And then I have to eat it because it's my only snack that I have available. So I think for me, it's just that I could eat ramen forever. I could eat tuna tortillas forever. So
I think for me, it was the ramens. I ate so many ramens on the trail last time, and this time, like, I started off with a lot of ramens, but then I was like, I stopped. I rarely had any ramens. I switched to the yakisobas. So I'd just rip them out of their packages and then put them in Ziploc bags and cook them for most of the time. They're just more flavorful than the ramens. They're just as many calories.
Yeah.
Nathan, can you still eat Snyder's pretzels?
No. Oh yeah, absolutely. I eat the shit out of it. But tuna, oh man. Oh, I never want to see a tuna packet. I love a tuna salad sandwich, like a nice one with like lots of stuff in it, but like a tuna packet on a cold dry tortilla, like I'm like it makes me nauseous thinking about it. Like I hated eating like that. And there's no calories in it. There's nothing in it. I don't know. Gross. I have like a bunch of them over here that from my resupply box that got kicked back. And I was like, these are going to expire because I'm never going to eat them. I should just give them away.
Nathan, people want to follow you on social media. Are they able to do so?
Yeah, they are. I'm just at Nathan Carden on most platforms.
Kevin and Leah, you guys have an incredible YouTube channel that, you know, I don't know if I'm ever going to do one of the big trails. At one point, I thought I'd finish up the AT. I'm not that far from finishing, but the more I hear about the PCT and talking to the three of you, I think I'd choose the PCT over the AT, to be honest with you. But if we want to follow Kevin and Leah, how do we do that?
So Kevin and Leah on YouTube, that's just type in Kevin and Leah. And then on Instagram, it's Kevin _and_Leah. Not as simple as Nathan, but
yes.
We got right there.
I, at this point, want to thank the three of you for just being great with coming on here, you know, starting way back in, I guess, back in January might have been the first time. Well, for Kevin and Leah, this goes back to 2022, early 2022. And when we first spoke, you guys were in the process of selling your house, I believe, or you had just sold your house and you were getting ready for your big adventure. And, you know, you guys have been great coming on here and sharing your stories with everybody. Hey, it's been a real pleasure getting to know you. I hope we could stay in touch through social media. And if any of you have any adventures you want to come on and talk about, feel free to. Nathan, don't feel like you have to do one of the big trails. You know, if you do one of these smaller trails, you take a group out and you want to come on and talk about it, you have an open invitation, because it's just been an absolute pleasure getting to know the three of you and speaking with you.
Thank you.
Well, good luck to the three of you. Let's all stay in touch. Have a great holiday and stay safe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Everybody, get out there, enjoy the winter season, have some fun, and be safe.
This episode of Pop Bear Hikes has been brought to you by Avalon Publicity. Avalon Publicity, increasing the digital footprint of content creators and skilled professionals via website development and social media services. For more information about Avalon Publicity, go to their website, avalonbusiness.org. That's avalonbusiness.org.